Happy Monday, Bucks fans. This is Monday Morning Joe, the podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. This is my podcast where I get to fly solo and just sort of let it rip on all things Bucks from the previous week, whatever's in my sort of crazy head. But of course, on JoeBucksFan.com, we are delivering for you 24/7. There is no day off. There is no break. Bucks news, Bucks nuggets, Bucks everything. As we see it, as we learn about it, we deliver it to you. And thanks for all your support. The offseason, there is no offseason at JoeBucksFan.com. Of course, this podcast is presented by Lakeland Auto Mall Ford and Hyundai and Discount Garage Doors. I was at the Pro Bowl a bit. Lee DeCamper, the other Joe, he's up in Minneapolis this week. He's there right now, pounding the pavement, just talking to sources, learning as much as possible about the Bucks, talking to people, doing all that stuff that that gives us real knowledge to share with you. We're a different kind of insight. Not that you don't have your own insight, and we are all about the fans here. Fan insight is everything, but we try to bring you something else, something different. That's why we handle things the way we do. So I've got plenty to share with you on some of my perspectives of what I learned at the Pro Bowl, some of the stuff going on with the Bucks now, some of the things not happening with your Bucks now. And this is our Monday Morning Joe podcast. It doesn't always run Monday morning, but it does come out on Monday, and you can enjoy it. And you know what? This is the off season. You can file it away and drive to work with it on Tuesday morning like so many of you do. I appreciate all the numbers on the podcast that continues to grow. That also is not declining. So, hey, that's always a good thing, too. It's kind of like the Bucks, right? You go 9-7. If you still go 9-7 for a while, that's all right. You know, you go 5-11, it sucks. The podcast continues to stay where it is, continues to grow, to move forward, to inch forward in growth. And I appreciate that very much. Otherwise, hey, I wouldn't be doing it. If you weren't listening, I surely don't need to hear myself talk. Podbean, Google Play, iTunes, this is where to find the podcast. There are other platforms too. Otherwise, listen right on JoeBucksFan.com. That's the way we enjoy it most, actually. And you know what? While you're on JoeBucksFan.com, while you're listening to the podcast, go to dgdoors.com. That's the home of Discount Garage Doors. It's a great local Florida company from right here in the Bay Area. They service 18 counties all the way out to our many readers in the Orlando area and listeners. And you know what? Discount Garage Doors. It's in their name right there. Discount. You do get same day free service call. You don't get a discount in quality. They are top trained licensed technicians. Same day free service call. They're there every single day for you, 7 days a week. Call them now. Schedule something for this afternoon, tomorrow, whatever it is, wherever you are. And they're going to come out. They're going to be a free diagnosis. They'll check everything out and they'll write it up for you. And if you want to get the work done, maybe they could do it right there. If you want to buy a new garage door, you want to shop around, they'll beat most competitors' prices. This is the company to use. Many Joe Bucks fan readers have used Discount Garage Doors to their satisfaction. And check them out, dgdoors.com, 1-866-420-DOOR. Give them a call today. And on my way to the Pro Bowl, I stopped in, of course, at Lakeland Auto Mall, Ford and Hyundai. Great service. They're going to treat you right. Start your new year off with a lower payment on hundreds of new Ford and Hyundai vehicles, a lower payment. Get out of that payment for $280 a month. Get into something for $240 a month. With every new vehicle purchase, get a nationwide lifetime warranty and 1 year free scheduled maintenance. Plus, get up to $12,000 off new Fords, up to $8,000 off new Hyundais with 0% APR for up to 72 months. No payments for 3 months. Lakeland Auto Mall, Ford and Hyundai. This is how to get it going. Not sure you're ready to buy? That's all right. Go to LakelandAutoMall.com. Try the new Dealmaker tool and shop by payment, value your trade-in, anything you need to do. And lastly, my friend Sean Sullivan, lifelong Bucks fan. He's the manager at Lakeland Ford. Go to LakelandFord.com, get your lowest internet price. That's the only thing they put online is the low price anyway. And he's going to give you an extra $500 off just for being a Bucks fan. Let him know you're a Bucks fan, a stick carrier, you like this podcast, and an extra $500 off that best internet price. Go see Sean Sullivan today at Lakeland Ford. LakelandAutoMall.com. Check him out. All right, Bucks fans. All right. Hey, I was out at the Pro Bowl yesterday in the slop and the rain. I left early, was not going to hang around, mainly because of the way the access is to talk to the players there. Primarily, it's on the field at the Pro Bowl. It's very relaxed. They're not running into a locker room for a coach's speech. A lot of them have family on the field. It's just a whole different scene. And in the rain and the mess, I had already been to the Pro Bowl during the week. I wasn't about to hang out and get soaked and all that kind of stuff. So, but at the Pro Bowl, of course, during the practice weeks, Gerald McCoy's out there. Quan Alexander is out there. And I got to say, I'm a Pro Bowl fan. I like the Pro Bowl. It's football. To me, it's better than watching something else. You never know what's going to happen in the game, as we saw for those who watched it. Quan Alexander was playing full speed. Other guys were not. The linemen never really play full speed, except maybe on a few plays, which is almost unfair. And we saw Von Miller get the big sack in the game where he's going. A great point by Matt Hasselbeck on the game call. He's lined up on the left side. And he's going up against Whitworth of the Rams, who's at right tackle. And he throws him, he ragdolls him, throws him to the side. And Hasselbeck made the great point. Hey, when you play right tackle, that is vastly different from playing left tackle. So here you are in an all-star game at right tackle where you're not even practicing in pads. They throw you out there. And Whitworth's been a veteran at left tackle for, what, a dozen years? And he's got no game on the right side at right tackle. And there's Von Miller, who's turning it on, who's rushes from the left side all the time. Made him look stupid, and that was the big play in the game to seal it. So, hey, go figure. But anyway, the Bucks are out there, and they were talking. I really felt good for Quan Alexander. One little nugget, Quan in the first practice, he was just constantly talking to the Saints defensive coaches. The Saints staff was running the NFC team this year. Constantly in their ear, just trying to get the calls right, trying to get the defense right. He was taking it way more seriously in practice than anybody else. And the first day, they're really doing a whole lot of nothing. It's like not even really like an NFL walkthrough. But for Quan, no, he was up in there chattering away, talking about the alignments. I had talked to one of the coaches. I don't recognize who they were exactly on the Saints staff. It's not like they're wearing jerseys, but I talked to some of the guys and they were verifying. Yeah. Quan is sitting there trying to get the alignments and the formations. And they said, hey, we were happy to help him. And you know, we want to win too. And we want to get our share and look good. And hey, if he wants to take it seriously more than everybody else, we were happy to oblige. So that was kind of cool. Quan though was having a good time as well. Don't get me wrong. Gerald McCoy, they were all talking. And I know many of you read the quotes on JoeBucksFan.com, other places. Quan had a lot to say. He really had a lot to say. I thought it was interesting when he basically responded to Warren Sapp ripping Mike Smith. Quan's attitude was, hey, you know, Sapp, shut up. You had your time. This is our time. Get out of here, which in many ways is the appropriate response. I mean, unless Sapp was going to be very specific on what his issues were, you know, you can't really do that and not expect some backlash. So good for Quan. Good for him taking that step to be a... I like the quick response from Quan. The quick response leadership. Because this year in the Bucks locker room, we did not get quick response leadership at all. Just the mere fact that Swaggy Baker was allowed to do what he did all season. TJ Ward. The lack of leadership. It just showed up ugly. You know, and I don't fault a guy like Quan, 23 years old, Jameis young, but you got to be mature. You got to be on it right away. And that was one of the themes that Gerald McCoy talked about this week. Hey, we got to, you know, me and Levante, we got to get on things faster and sooner and set the tone. And, you know, it's like you hear him say this kind of stuff and it's like, you know, Gerald, didn't you know this already? That the leadership and setting the tone with the team and that all starts in April. Starts in May at the very latest. It starts the first day of training camp, you know, but we hear this stuff and I'm not against the guy learning. Gerald McCoy, you know, in the scope of the world, he's still a young guy, 29 years old. He's entitled to learn and be a slow learner. But man, if you want to be a leader, you call yourself a leader. It starts all the time. It starts early and you got to speak up. It just was further evidence that Gerald McCoy is not that guy. And he was thrust into that role as a number three overall pick on a terrible football team. And it just never really suited him. And it's really no knock on him. Not everybody's got to be the leader of the pack. He was signed here to play football and play good football. And he's done that, whether you want to believe it or not. But the leadership on this Bucks team is lacking. I believe that wholeheartedly. I like Jameis, but the leadership's lacking. And, you know, when you lose a lot of close games, a lot of times that's the little things. And one of the little things, because I don't consider leadership necessarily a big thing, but one of those little things is leadership. And that kind of brings me to, where do the Bucks believe they are? Right? Really, isn't that the theme of this whole offseason, is where do the Bucks believe that they sit in the scope of the NFL? Do they think they're close? That's what scares the crap out of me. Do they really think they're close? Or do they think they're far away, but they have to pretend that they're close to try to keep their jobs and squeeze a good season out of this bunch next year? I don't know. Do they believe they're close on offense and far away on defense and got issues on special teams? I don't know. But the more you listen to Gerald McCoy, the more you listen to Dirk Cutter, the more you listen to the players. Players by nature are optimists. That's a lot of how they got there to the NFL, is through confidence and belief in themselves. And a close game, when you're a player, I don't care if you're playing basketball or you're playing hockey in the street or you're playing tennis and you're losing in a tiebreaker, if you're close, you feel you're close. But sometimes you aren't really that close. You aren't really that close. And I think the Bucks are in that boat. They're just not really that close. Too many problems. But that can be fixed in an offseason. We've seen it with the Saints. We saw it with a flawless draft last year by the Saints. Turn the team around. Key positions, Marcus Lattimore, the O-line. So it's possible. I'm not trying to extinguish hope here, but I wish it just, something just feels off with this team right now. Something feels a little bit off. But the Pro Bowl was fun, and there's good stuff going on out there. I like it. I hope they continue it. Hope they expand it. The fans respond well to it. I would recommend anybody to go out to the Pro Bowl. Gerald McCoy didn't play too much. He played a little bit. He admitted that his arm wasn't right. His injured bicep, well, wasn't 100% yet, but he was there. He told me, because of Peyton Manning. Manning had inspired him when he was a first-time Pro Bowler in 2012. He gave a speech saying, appreciate it, embrace it, treasure it, and it's your duty and honor to play in it. And so McCoy came. He was on the fence whether to come to the game, but he did. And, of course, he pocketed his $32,000, so I can't I'd probably be out there too. Although, I mean, who can even imagine the kind of money that these guys make? But anyway, that was your Bucks at the Pro Bowl. A lot of respect out there for Gerald McCoy. I talked to a lot of people off the record about McCoy specifically and about the Bucks defense. Because you know what? What happens is, if you talk to these players, you get the stock answer. You get the corporate answer. You get the cliches. Because people don't, for the most part, people don't like to give out good information, honesty about other players. It's just an unwritten rule, right? Well, some of these guys you can take off the record, meaning I let them know, hey, I'm never going to attach your name to this quote. Sometimes not even record it, but most of the time I do. And at the Pro Bowl, you get a little more relaxed situation. So many of you read the story I had on JoeBucksFan.com. It was an assessment of the Bucks defense from a offensive lineman at the Pro Bowl, a guy who's faced the Bucks recently. And, man, you saw it right there. He said he feels bad for Gerald McCoy. He said that Bucks just don't scare you, and there's a lot of confidence in the offense when you're playing the Bucks defense. Just some interesting stuff there. It's one guy's opinion. I'm not going to go too into it. I talked to another guy. A lot of respect for Gerald McCoy. Not a lot of respect for the Bucks defense. Just something to file away when you think about, hey, is this team close? Where are they actually? Now, Akeber Talib or Michael Bennett, if one of those is available, you can't blame Bucks fans. You can't blame me or us here at JoeBucksFan.com for wanting to sign these guys, because you have holes on the roster. I mean, that's what free agency is for, a hole on the roster. You're not going to fix the team with a free agent. Rarely does that happen. We saw Calais Campbell. He would have been such a great fit here for the Bucks. It makes you sick, but rarely is a free agency guy a pure long-term fix for the roster. Usually it plugs up a hole. And when you draft poorly and you screw up in a screw up in your roster building and maybe you leave things deficient like the Bucks have done on defense, you have to plug some holes. And you know what? You're going to do a better job plugging that hole with spending more money. I mean, fans don't want to do it, but that's the reality. You fail, you have to fix it. So they failed with Vernon Hargraves. People don't want to hear that. I know he's 22 years old. I hate to throw that on a kid, but this coaching staff, which has been devoted to the status quo, as we call it, they are down on Hargraves. They're the ones who demoted him and made him a part-time player at nickel, and they lost trust in him quickly, very quickly. That's not a good sign. This whole coaching staff is back. They're not going to miraculously be in love with Vernon Hargraves again. He's probably a bust, or at least in the scope of this defense. So you know what? You got to plug that hole. And I think if Tlaib is available, if he somehow is released by the Broncos early, before the free agency bell rings middle of March, sign him up. Sign him up. He'll play. He'll practice. Deal with it. Now, maybe they're not mature enough to deal with a guy like a Tlaib, a guy like a Michael Bennett. I agree with that. I agree with it. But you got to take some gambles. And he's a lot more talented than the free agents we've signed before here. We tried to fill a hole and fill a need with Swaggy Baker. Talent wasn't there, and the desire wasn't there. TJ Ward, head case, desire wasn't there. Tlaib, nobody's ever questioned his desire. He's a little wacky. I think he'd be a pretty good fit. And as I mentioned, you'll hear it tomorrow on the Ira Kaufman podcast. I think the Bucks have some serious leverage on Brent Grimes if they can be honest about signing Tlaib. Meaning if you go to Grimes now and you say, hey, Brent, if Tlaib is cut, we want to sign him, but we'd rather have you, but we need you to sign right now and make a decision. Maybe they can squeeze Grimes earlier and satisfy that situation before they have to and give themselves some more flexibility, or maybe get him at a better price. I don't know, but I'm not against having both of those guys either. Why can't we have multiple talented players? It doesn't mean you can't draft a guy either. I don't know. It's roster building. We've got holes. We got to fix them. And I'm just not against signing talented players. You know, manage a guy if you think he's a little bit of a head case. But Bennett and Tlaib, I'd rather have Tlaib. Out of the two of them, I'd rather have Tlaib. And it's probably a situation where if the Bucks were even interested, they would just pick one. I'd rather have Tlaib. We'll leave it at that. All right. What else did I want to hit with you guys today? Well, McCoy, one thing he did say recently at the Pro Bowl, he did a podcast with Michael Rapaport, and he talked about how the Bucks screwed themselves. I did a story on it. You can go find the podcast somewhere. Fun podcast. McCoy was loose, but that was his sort of look back at the season. The Bucks screwed themselves. Too many mistakes at the wrong time. The players messed up. And, you know, I think it's almost as if the whole organization believes, you know what, we had the talent, we just didn't play too well. And I just think that's so dangerous. I hope the Bucks make some bold moves, shake up the roster a little bit. You got to snap these guys out of really the funk that they're in. I mean, I don't think it's hard to really understand how poorly the team played. You just can't keep losing like that. They need to be shaken up, and I wish Jason Light luck in trying to shake up a roster, in trying to improve a roster, and also having to be reasonable in thinking for the long term, but knowing your job's on the line to fix the short term. It's a very, very tough, very tough spot. All right, Senior Bowl. Now, I just finished watching the Senior Bowl. And we'll talk more about that next time. I want to look a little deeper into the guys that I actually like. But you know what? What struck me about the Senior Bowl is what I learned today, confirmed today anyway, that Dirk Cutter, Todd Monken, and Mike Smith, they didn't go. They didn't go to the Senior Bowl. Now, why not? Why would you not go to the Senior Bowl? I'm hoping that they're just sort of extra dialed into free agency. I don't know any other reason why you wouldn't go to the Senior Bowl unless you just want to take those hours and put it into further study for free agency. I don't know. You could speculate all day long, but it's awfully odd for a coaching staff that didn't make a lot of coaching changes. They're not out there searching high and low for coaches. They weren't at the Pro Bowl. You know, Doug Marrone was at the Pro Bowl supporting his players, and they weren't there. I didn't hear of them on any scouting trips, and frankly, the Senior Bowl is the only scouting trip going on right now. I don't think they're going to be doing the Super Bowl interview circuit. You know, that's not the question. Line of questioning wouldn't be too nice for Dirk Cutter and Mike Smith if they were started doing national shows. I'm kidding around here, but where were they? Where were these guys? I hope nothing's wrong. I hope there's not a personal situation that kept them away. But man, where are they? I mean, these guys are your great football minds on the roster. You know, Jason Light's got his team, but odd. I just hope they're so dialed into free agency. And when I say that, I mean they're reviewing film of guys. They're pouring over tape. They're self-scouting. They're saying, hey, you know what? We want to use these hours, all these hours that we would have spent at the Senior Bowl, put it into free agency. And you know what? We'll pick up the time on the draft later in the year. And usually what happens is late March, typically the personnel department of the Bucks will turn over their top players and a list of names and film to the position coaches and Dirk Cutter and his staff to study. And then they want their grades on the players, and then they compare notes. They don't say, hey, we like these five running backs in this order. They say, here's the running backs we like, and offensive staff, you study them, give us a full report and see who you like, and then they match it up. So it's not like Dirk Cutter and his staff don't get involved in the draft process, but it is a little strange to not have the big guns at the Senior Bowl. The Bucks had other assistant coaches there, just not Cutter, Mike Smith, and Monken, which is, you can speculate as well as anybody else because nobody has the answers, and we're just going to see what happens with that. What else do I want to go? Where else do I want to go here with the Bucks? You know, it's the end of January. You know, and we're glad that the train keeps moving here for Bucks fans as we keep just agonizing over what's going to happen next with the team. I think you'll note on JoeBucksFan.com, or you'll see it coming up, we are very much of the belief that you got to fill some of those holes in free agency. You got to do everything you can in free agency because you just can't rely on the draft. You want to rely on the draft. You need to be successful, but you got to fill the holes as they're on your plate. Jason Light has taken some gambles in the past, and he's been successful. He's been successful. Look at what he did in 2015. I've mentioned this before a couple of months ago, I think. In 2015, the Bucks desperately needed help on the offensive line. They didn't touch it at all in free agency. Light goes out and stays patient, and he drafts Donovan Smith and Ali Marpet and filled two big holes on the roster right there. And they were very successful on the O-line in 2015 with a punishing running game. Now, that was fantastic work by Jason Light. Fantastic. But that's tough to do every year. And the Bucks have too many holes in many ways to rely on that. And we've made the point a few times, defensive end is not a position where rookies typically make a massive impact. They can be good. Your Ryan Kerrigan's, they could be great. Your Alden Smith's, your Yannick Ngakoue, who was fantastic last year for the Jaguars and then had a great second year this year. But it's tougher at defensive end, definitely tougher. And especially an offensive lineman, he plays full time. A defensive end, if the Bucks bring in a couple of defensive ends, well, are they going to have them rotate? They get less snaps to get their work, and they need to be more efficient and more effective. It's just harder, tougher position. And of course, if you throw out a rookie defensive end, a second round and a third round pick, if you throw them out there to start as rookies, they're going to get eaten alive for a while, and that's going to cost people jobs. So what the Bucks need to do, I believe, you have to be aggressive in free agency. just to get better. Try to get better wherever you can. That doesn't mean necessarily big signings everywhere. Just get better. Just get better, and that kind of thing can really really have a bigger impact than just the difference between the player you acquired and the player you replaced. The Monken thing. Todd Monken got promoted to full-time offensive coordinator. So what is he going to do? He's not going to call plays. Don't get it out of your head. He is not calling plays. Even if he calls plays once or twice in the preseason, he's not going to be calling plays. It's a Dirk Koetter thing. Dirk Koetter was never really considering it for 2017, and it's not going to be on the cards for 2018. Koetter's a play caller. Monken, though, he's a quality coach, and if he can get his hands on other parts of the offense, maybe that'll help. Now, he was still involved in the play calling and the game planning, along with George Warhop, who was promoted last year. A lot of people don't realize that he like got an extra title of run game coordinator and was heavier into the game planning. But this frees Monken up to lead. And he's a good leader of men. He's a good coach. He can certainly handle the job. And maybe that can light a spark. I don't know. Whatever that is, more Monken influence is a good thing. You should be pleased about that. Now, obviously, that means he's going to have less time with the receivers, and he's proven to be a very good receivers coach. I was really shocked seeing on JoeBucksFan.com today that some fans think he wasn't a very good receivers coach. Come on. Come on. And maybe some of that, I think, is because I get to watch practice, or at least a chunk of it, and you can see or spend a lot of time seeing what a good coach Monken really is, and very technical, and he's done a lot of great things with these guys. But, you know, it's such a subtle change. It's something that we talk about in the end of January. I don't think the Monken change means much, but it could mean a little bit. Could mean a little bit to spark the offense in a different way, maybe just get some guys thinking a little bit differently, and even giving him a little bit more time to sit with Koetter and come up with something. I mean, we're just hoping here, right? We're grasping at straws that the offense gets a little bit more creative, gets better in the red zone. I don't know. Hopefully Monken can spend all these extra hours on the red zone offense. We'll see. But as they go through training camp, though, and OTAs, it lets him just have more time in other areas, and that can only be a positive. It may give him a little bit more authority. I don't know. Maybe things will look a little different, but not much. Not much at all. All right, hey, special guest for you today. Special guest with the Hall of Fame vote coming on Saturday. What does that mean? That means the finalists, 15 finalists are set. Only five are getting into the Hall of Fame. John Lynch is on that list. There are 46 selectors who are media guys. There are two ex-players. Those are your 48 panelists. They vote on Saturday after meeting all day, arguing and discussing and presenting these 15 finalists. So, Ira Kaufman of JoeBucksFan.com, he is the only representative for the Tampa Bay area. And I've got a few issues with a lot of the politics that continue to grow on the Hall of Fame vote. It's really shameful and disgusting. And we could probably spend hours talking about the little things that go on behind the scenes and what's ethical, what's not ethical, what's fair, what's not fair. But I wanted to hit Ira with a couple of the pressing issues of the day. And Ira actually reveals his opening line for his John Lynch presentation, which is coming up Saturday. So that's pretty cool. It's not something you would catch every day. So that's coming up in just a second. You know, next podcast, I'm going to get a little bit more into the Senior Bowl, into some of these prospects. Again, I want to look a little bit deeper into these guys. It's early for the draft. We'll see. And of course, you know, your team's approach in the draft is shaped by free agency. So, you know, things really pick up once that free agency wave hits in the second week in March. So we're all looking forward to that. So here he is, Mr. Ira Kaufman. You know him as the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Tampa Bay's Hall of Fame voter. Ira, I don't have to kiss your ass in the same way because this is not your podcast. Welcome, though. Welcome. We are here to talk about one thing, Mr. Kaufman, and that is some of my issues with the Hall of Fame, but really one in particular. But how are you today, man?
Doing well. I'm a man with a single purpose. I'm a finely honed machine this week. Isbits, wait till I get to Minneapolis and see those people on that committee. I'm gonna I'm going to cause a stir in there.
Yeah, well, finely honed machine. I'd like to see how that machine operates at 5 below 0. I have a feeling things are going to be different.
I'm all greased up. I'm all looped up, baby. Everything's going to work with 5 degrees.
I don't even want to go there. All right, Look, here's the deal. You know that I have great issues with all of the ridiculous politics with the Hall of Fame. It's not the fault of all you voters. There's 45 of you and a few ex-players, 46 and a couple ex-players, whatever it is. And I think this year it's magnified more than ever, right? Because I'm paying attention to all this stuff nationwide. I'm at the Pro Bowl. I'm doing all my research, my reading. I don't care about anything else, Ira. It's all football. And the hot name this year, Everson Walls. Everson Walls, he's a finalist. Has he ever been a finalist before?
He has not.
He hasn't been a finalist before. Okay, so it's his last year of eligibility.
Yes.
Before he goes to the senior committee or whatever.
That means I think he's been passed up like 18 times.
Yeah, so he's been passed up left and right. He's never been a finalist. You know, he played from 81 to 93. He's got, great years with the Cowboys.
So he's been eligible since 99.
Big plays in his career, whatever. Excellent player. But all of a sudden, now there's this groundswell, and if you listen to all these people out there, they're like, how did we possibly miss Everson Walls? What were we thinking? He's almost the hot guy, it feels like, just because he led the league in picks a few times and had a nice career. I mean, to me, Ira, I don't get it. I don't get why he even was a finalist this year after 19 years of not being a finalist. Obviously, we know that he got in there over Rondé Barber, who was a unique player, was a league Ironman, and obviously was a darn good player as well and special. But the point is that the politics of it, Ira, of Everson Walls here, does it disgust you as much as it disusts me? And why does this happen? Why is he here?
It seems a little manufactured. You know, let's get this guy in. It's his last year before he becomes a senior candidate. You know what my answer is? Get him in as a senior candidate. You want him so much? Fine. Wait one more year. Bring him in as a senior candidate. Next thing you know, he's going to have a busting can. Those guys usually make it. And they're not fighting against the Brian Dawkins and the John Lynches and the Steve Hutchinsons of the world. Fine. But this seems contrived. Contrived is my word of the day, Stephen, for Everson Walls. And I've said in a previous podcast, Steve, on Joe Bucks Fan, Walls' former agent was very aggressive, calling everybody. He called me. And he ended the call by saying, well, this is Walls' last year as a modern-day candidate. You don't need to vote for a guy like Rondé Barber. He's got 19 more years of eligibility. He must have forgot who he was talking to. I mean, I wanted to hang up on the guy. I was nice. I didn't say anything. Just let it go. But that takes a lot of nerve. Tells me he probably called all 48 people on the committee, and he forgot who he was talking to. You can't tell the Tampa guy to forget about Rondé Barber. I mean, what's going on there? So as far as Walls is concerned, I'll take a look at him as a senior candidate. I'm not voting for him as a modern-day candidate. I'm not doing it. There's got to be a reason why he's passed up 18 or 19 times. Couldn't even get in the room. I mean, what does that tell you? He did lead the league in interceptions 3 times, but he was a big riverboat gambler. He was an all-or-nothing guy. Good player, but let him go into the senior pool as far as I'm concerned.
I don't like it. It's odd, and I don't remember.
And there might be a little guilt trip being laid on the committee. You know, let's get this guy in. Let's squeeze him in.
Well, sure, the guilt trip is the politics, and it's ridiculous. I got one idea to throw at you, Ira. Don't you think in this modern age, right, and keep in mind, you Hall of Fame voters, you gather every year together. It's not like baseball. You gather every year after you're whittled down by mail vote, whittled down to your 15 finalists. Then you meet for 9-10 hours or whatever and come up with your vote for the guys who get in. And that's the day before the Super Bowl. Don't you think in this day and age, though, that each player should be able to submit something from somebody, a friend, maybe an 8-minute video where they have somebody present them on their behalf as the player to put out their case? Because who knows their own case better than they do? Well, I mean, I just don't get that.
Steve, if you have been in the room like I have since 05, I think you'd be impressed by how serious the panelists take this. The research that they do, and look, they comb the NFL universe for people that can talk on that guy's behalf. What I like to do is talk about get contemporaries, but not the guys that coached them. You know, nobody wants to hear what Monty Kiffin's got to say about John Lynch. Of course he's going to praise Lynch to the sky. But I want the guys that faced him, the Kurt Warners of the world, the Brett Favres, the Peyton Mannings, Brian Billick, Bill Polian, guys that had to prepare for John Lynch. That's what counts. That's clout. So the presentations are, you know, Steve, they're not 25-minute affairs because people are going to fall asleep, but they're comprehensive, and we search out people that can put these guys in perspective. I know what you're saying. The next stage is probably video. No video's ever been used in the room.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for you guys still doing your thing, but I think each player, if you make it to the final 15, I think all you guys in that room have an extra 75 minutes for each player to put together a 5-minute video presentation. I mean, this is the guy is on the line. I think he's the guy who can best present, whether it be a personal plea and explanation, or whether a guy like Rondé Barber is able to call somebody on the phone and get Jake Delhomme to explain why Barber's the best player he ever faced.
Well,
I don't know.
Steve, the quotes are the quotes. I mean, you know, if I've got Isaac Bruce, talking about Rondé Barber or Donovan McNabb, one of his favorite victims, ironically, a guy that is in the top 10 all-time in fewest interceptions thrown by percentage. It's not like Donovan McNabb's a turnover machine, but Barber killed Donovan McNabb. He killed him, especially in that 0-3 NFC Championship game. The quotes are the quotes, Steve. So if Rondé Barber, you know, calls Donovan McNabb to say a few things, or I read your McNabb's quotes, the words are going to be the same. But what you're saying maybe is it would have more of an impact if there's a little video and it's coming right from McNabb.
Just think, if a player gets that far and it's an in-person, because you're there, Ira. You're going there Saturday to influence people. You're there to make the pitch. This is a sales pitch. You've been working on this for months, you know. So everybody accepts that essentially as a voter, you're going in there saying, okay, I'm open to being swayed. I'm going to listen with an open mind and hear everything. I think if that's the process, if you're going to engage everybody, then let the player have 5 minutes to make a video of whoever he wants or even just himself.
It's not a bad suggestion, Steve.
You know, I don't get it. I think
I think the Hall's looking for innovative new ways to present these guys. Your idea, I think, should be under consideration. Video's never been used. Maybe we should get into the modern era with a little video.
Sure.
It certainly would help Lynch, you know, because you'd show some of the hits and you'd see what an intimidating figure he was in his time when you could be intimidating as a member of the secondary.
I mean, theoretically, it would help all the guys because they're only going to show their best stuff. But I don't know. It seems like the process is stuck in 1990 or Chicago politics or something. It's messy. And if Walls gets in, Ira, then what?
If Walls gets in, there's going to be an investigation. There's going to be an investigation.
No, seriously, would there be?
I think so. You know, he would take up one of five spots, and that would mean 14 guys are crammed into four spots if Walls has one of them. And, you know, the 10 guys that walk away, peeved about it, I think have every right to say, wait a minute. We just put a guy in the first time he's ever been in the room when he got passed up 18 times. I mean, that sounds a little nutsy to me. Why has he been passed up 18 times? That is sure to come up in the room, Steve. Now, I'm going to let you and your listeners in on a little nugget here. I should save it for my own podcast, but not just me, but the guys that have candidates that they're making presentations for, the vast majority of the 48 selectors, they're not pitching a candidate on Saturday.
Sure.
But 15 of us are, and it might even be smaller than 15 because some guys might have multiple guys. Those guys that are pitching, like me, have to be careful, I think, when it comes to the debate portion. And after a guy makes a presentation, there's give and take. And I think I got to be a little careful about being negative on some of the candidates, where I may not ordinarily be so reticent if I didn't have my own candidate to pitch. You don't want to peeve anybody off.
And therein lies the problem.
Again, with the problem.
Well, you're worried about what other people are going to think because you say something about Kevin Mawai, and that might hurt you. It shouldn't be like that. That's why it's messed up.
It's human. It's human nature, my friend.
Well, what's the Hall
you
doing?
You want me ripping Brian Dawkins?
No. But you weren't talking Dawkins. You were also talking about other candidates. I'm assuming you were, too.
Yeah.
You know, you just can't. You want everybody to
I got to be circumspect.
Hey, when you're presenting, you want everybody to love you.
I got to be circumspect.
Exactly. So, I don't know. It's crazy, Ira. I wish you the best of luck out there. Try number 5 on John Lynch. you know, I think Ed McCaffrey said it best. He's my new favorite on Sirius XM radio.
You love yourself a little Ed McCaffrey.
Well, he's just very plainly said, speaking a little bit on this subject, is that people don't know how to evaluate the safety position. He said in football they don't, let alone riders who they just don't know how to evaluate it.
What does he mean?
Well, he just meant that they don't necessarily understand the responsibilities, the duties, the skill level, and that it's just not that easy. I have to agree.
I happen to agree, too, because I happen to think now Dawkins, who was a heck of a player, we'll talk more about this later in the week in my podcast, but Dawkins, I think, was given an opportunity to showcase his versatile skills more than Lynch was, and here's an example. The Bucs blitzed very infrequently in that Tampa 2.
Didn't have to, yep.
Didn't have to. And that goes directly to Dirk Cutter's, one of Dirk Cutter's first lines that he said when the season ended. We had a lot of trouble generating a pass rush with our four-man front. That's what he said. And those Buck teams did not. And when you do not, you got seven in coverage, it makes a big difference. So they didn't blitz a lot. Thus, Lynch didn't get an opportunity to show any skills as a pass rusher. He goes to Denver, different scheme. His second year in Denver, Steve, 2005, he's got four sacks. He ties for the Broncos team lead. So here's he showcasing a skill where he didn't get the chance in Tampa. So I guess what I'm saying, and you
use
are
that,
too.
Sage, use that.
Use that. Steve, you evaluate a guy by how well he executes the role that he's asked to do. Do your job. Who said that? Bill Belichick. Not a bad guy to quote. Do your job. And Lynch did it spectacularly.
If I can be so bold to give you a little advice, Ira, that I think might work. Although
you're giving me advice from Minneapolis?
Well, you want
other than bundle up, Kaufman?
I could give you advice all day long. I mean, of course, you could just call Scott Reynolds, who you know thinks he needs to teach you a thing or two. But you look at Boselli, right? People are going to be arguing Boselli. Yeah. So he had, what, six good years, was it?
Yeah.
I don't know. You have the data.
That's about right.
All right, so six good years.
Better than good. Better than good.
So you know what? I think when you take a guy like Boselli, yeah, he had six good years. He had a short career. But he didn't have a chance, essentially, to show that he could be that guy for 10 years. So he's a complete incomplete because he didn't get to play these longer careers. And I think for a guy like Lynch, who's played a lot of years, if the argument comes up, you got to go back to that. You know, if they're going to celebrate a guy who was so great for 6 years, then shouldn't we double that for a guy who was great for 12?
Longevity counts, my man. Longevity counts. Well, and that's why I thought it was even more shocking that that Rondé didn't make that list of 15 with the longevity and the historic durability. Historic. That's got to count.
Well, I think you got to hammer that for Lynch. I think you got to hammer that for Lynch.
15 seasons.
But let's say he had 12 very super strong seasons, 8 in Tampa, 4 in Denver. If Boselli had six, you got to hammer, hey, it's 12 years has to be worth more than six. It does.
Yeah.
No matter how they slice it, and it's not Boselli's fault that he got hurt, but you can't.
But Terrell Davis getting in last year opens the door a little bit, opens the door a little bit of a crack for a short career. You know, now Gale Sayers was the standard bearer, but there's only one Gale Sayers.
Right, but let's be honest here, and Frank, which we always are anyway, Terrell Davis got in because of his postseason record.
Yes, he did.
Right. So Boselli doesn't have that. That's another unique situation. Baselli's not unique. A great offensive lineman for 6 years. Well, John Lynch, great with two teams, 12 years that he was actually great. And
nine Pro Bowls.
Nine Pro Bowls when the Pro Bowl meant more. And you've got the Super Bowl. All right, Sage, good luck. We're all rooting for you out there. It'll be great. And I know that you want Lynch to get in primarily because Team Glazer will then fly you to the Hall of Fame. You'll get all kinds of free food. And
at this point, I'll take Team Glazer talking to me. Never mind flying me somewhere.
All right, well, that's the stuff that we can't talk about on the podcast. And, you know, people would never understand the tentacles that happen on with which Joe
Buckstein. I will say this. The Glazers, all of them. All the co-chairmen, they're very keen on Lynch and getting in. They're very, very keen on Lynch. He was a big favorite of Brian and Joel's during his playing career. They used to talk about how in the middle of the fourth quarter, the game would be in the balance. We need a Lynch moment. That's what they would say to each other. And I've used that line in the room, too. I got 12 people looking at me. What does that mean, Calvin? What the hell does that mean? And I try to explain that an earth-shattering hit that changes the momentum of a game or an interception. I'll say this, Steve. He had 26 interceptions. You know how many came in the fourth quarter? 14 out of 26. That's a very
high
percentage.
I hate those stats. I hate those stats. To me, they're stupid.
Because I came up with it. You hate it.
Who cares? 14. I mean,
it shows significance in clutch.
An interception is an interception. I hate that stat. I hate going out on this bad note, Ira, but that's the way it is. It's my podcast, so we don't have to end on with happiness. Good luck out there. Stay warm. Come back. We'll see you. That was pretty cool to just chat a little hall stuff with Ira. And, of course, thank you to Lakeland Automall, Ford and Hyundai, and Discount Garage Doors. Find them at dgdoors.com. Don't forget to use your 10% Joe Bucks fan discount at Discount Garage Doors. And at lakelandford.com, just find your lowest internet price on a brand new vehicle. They already put their only lowest price online. And then contact Lakeland Ford manager Sean Sullivan and tell him you're a Bucks fan, you're a Joe Bucks fan listener, you love the podcast, whatever you want to tell them, you're going to get $500 off that already lowest internet price on a new vehicle. Pretty darn cool. And really, thanks to everybody for listening. Subscribe on iTunes, Podbean, Google Play. It's easy. It's free. You just get an alert when the podcast posts. And we're here for you at JoeBucksFan.com. We're just fans who turned into crazy 24/7 lunatic journalists covering this team. Of course, myself and Lee DeKemper, we came into this with a very long and extensive journalism background, so we had a little experience on what to do. But really, you know, we're fans, we're looking out for you, and we're just trying to do the very best we can and keep it interesting. And that's really what this is supposed to be: fun, interesting. You're supposed to want to be a fan 24/7, to crave the lifestyle of being a fan, and suffer and agonize, and then that's what makes it so much better when they actually win, right? That's why training camp takeover was so insane for those who attended that last summer, because you're waiting, you're building, you're following, you're learning, you're studying, you're living the dream of this Bucks fan life through the combine, through the Pro Bowl, through commentary, through free agency, through hope, through OTAs and the rookie mini camps. You know, and we're taking you through that, riding that roller coaster of hope, and hopefully it turns into something one of these years. Really just sick of being the bottom feeders of the NFC, which is what we are right now. But we'll get there. We'll get there, and I'll be here for you. We'll be here for you. Monday Morning Joe podcast. Thanks for listening. See you next week.